So I do have an update for you about the newest skincare routine that I've been using because the results just keep getting better and better. Honestly, I was getting to a point where I felt like my face was looking a bit more tired. But now that I've used OneSkin each morning and each night for a few months, I can truly tell the difference. My face feels brighter, more hydrated. I do feel that it's making a difference in terms of visible signs of aging. And no wonder, because OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. Now, this peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged aging cells and boosts skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and protect against the elements. And all I have to do to have all of those benefits is cleanse and apply OneSkin's topical face and eye cream morning and night, and it's so easy. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code NEWSWORTHY at oneskin.co. Go and get this. You can get 15% off oneskin.co with the code NEWSWORTHY. And after your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, so please be sure to support our show and tell them we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Today is Monday, September 21st. What to know today about the legacy of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the debate about what should happen next to fill her seat on the bench. Also, another tropical storm is brewing in the Gulf, putting 10 million Americans on watch. Plus, TikTok gets the green light from the president. Things got messy with PlayStation pre-orders. And the sitcom Schitt's Creek swept the Emmys. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. All weekend, there have been crowds gathered outside the U.S. Supreme Court with hundreds of people leaving flowers and messages to honor U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ginsburg died on Friday at age 87 of complications from pancreatic cancer. She was known to vote on the liberal side of issues and was seen by many as a champion of women's rights. For example, she wrote the majority opinion in the case of the U.S. versus Virginia back in 1996. That required the Virginia Military Institute open its doors to qualified women. In fact, Ginsburg was only the second woman ever appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in recent years, she also became a pop culture star, known by the nickname Notorious RBG. Ginsburg was nominated to the Supreme Court back in 1993 by then-President Bill Clinton. After her death, Clinton released a statement calling her a, quote, magnificent judge and wonderful person. Current President Donald Trump called her a titan of the law who was renowned for her brilliant mind. The New York Times says Justice Ginsburg is expected to lie in repose at the Supreme Court for 2 days. That means a ceremony inside the court as early as Tuesday, followed by an outdoor viewing. Her funeral is expected later this week, as well as a burial at Arlington National Cemetery. And right away, Congress began talking about her replacement. And it's already controversial since it's an election year. Remember, the current president nominates Supreme Court justices when there's an opening, and then the Senate must confirm the pick. And once confirmed, the justice then sits on the high court for life. So it can obviously have a huge impact for years to come. Already, President Trump has appointed 2 in 3 years. Republicans want President Trump to also choose who will replace Ginsburg before the November election, while Democrats want to wait, which could give the next president and or new Senate the chance to choose. Democrats are pointing to what happened back in 2016 to try to boost their argument. During the last election cycle, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia died in February of 2016. Then-President Barack Obama moved forward with his nomination to replace Scalia before the election. But Obama's pick was blocked by the Senate. And the reason? Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said it was not appropriate to hold a vote in an election year and that it should be up to the next elected president to fill that spot, who of course ended up being President Trump, and Trump went on to appoint Neil Gorsuch instead. But this election year, McConnell doesn't feel the same way. He's promising the Senate will vote on President Trump's nominee before November. So Democrats are calling him a hypocrite and say they want the American people to have a say. And they also argue they don't want to rush such an important decision. But McConnell says the difference is, back in 2016, President Obama was not on the ballot in November, so his decision would not have been scrutinized by the American people in that upcoming election. McConnell also says Republicans who hold the Senate majority were elected to support President Trump's agenda, and that's what they'll do. So President Trump is planning to move forward with his pick. He says he plans to nominate a woman to replace Ginsburg as soon as this week. To be continued. Nearly 200,000 Americans have now died from COVID-19, and the virus has killed nearly 5 times that many, close to 1 million people around the world. Across the U.S., the number of new COVID-19 cases has gone up by at least 10% in the past week compared to the previous week. It seems only four states, Delaware, Hawaii, Louisiana, and Michigan, are heading in the right direction since new cases have gone down by more than 10%. Of course, this is not a total surprise. Doctors and health experts had predicted an increase in the weeks after Labor Day weekend gatherings. Also of note, the CDC has updated its testing guidance. The message last month said people who get exposed to COVID-19 may not need to be tested as long as they don't start showing symptoms. It was controversial back then, but now the guidance has changed back. It now says clearly everyone who's had close contact to an infected person needs a test, symptoms or not. The CDC defines close contact as being within 6 feet of an infected person for at least 15 minutes. The new guidance also says just one negative test does not necessarily mean a person will stay completely in the clear. So people who are close contacts should still self-isolate for 2 weeks if possible, even if the test results are negative. Another tropical storm could bring heavy rain and flooding to parts of the Gulf Coast today. More than 10 million people are under storm warnings ahead of Tropical Storm Beta. It's expected to make landfall near Galveston, Texas, either late tonight or early tomorrow morning. But already parts of southeast Texas and southwest Louisiana are getting heavy rain. When all is said and done, some places around Houston and Galveston could end up getting 20 inches of rain through Thursday. This is especially rough because it's possible this storm impacts some of the same places still recovering from Hurricane Laura last month. This storm is not expected to be quite as powerful as Laura. In fact, it's not expected to reach hurricane strength at all. But it could still do damage, and people who live on the coast are still being urged to prepare. Today, President Trump is set to address the United Nations. And just as world leaders will not be packing into New York City as they usually do for the annual UN General Assembly this year, Trump will not be traveling to New York either. Instead, the president will deliver his speech via video from the White House. Even so, Politico reports that speech is likely to spark tension between countries. Trump is expected to challenge the terms of Iran's nuclear deal with the UN Security Council, even though other United Nations members like Britain, France, and Germany say Trump can't do that since the U.S. pulled out of the deal a couple years ago. More on that one expected today. Also today, it happens to be the United Nations International Day of Peace. This day is observed around the world every year on September 21st. The UN calls for 24 hours of nonviolence and ceasefire. And it's also asking all of us to spread compassion, kindness, and hope. There are all kinds of international peace events happening around the world today. To find one near you, just check out the link in today's episode notes. All right, we have more news coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor today, Rothy's. It is that time to take your first steps into fall, and Rothy's is here to help you do it with comfortable, washable, and sustainable shoes and bags. If you've been listening for a while, then you know I'm obsessed with my Rothy's shoes. I have a pair of their flats, and they're the most comfortable flats I've ever owned, yet they're still so chic and stylish, and they go with everything. I love them so much that I'm going back for more. This week, I'm ordering the lace-up in bright white, and I can't wait. But there are a ton of different colors, prints, patterns, and styles to choose from. And you know what makes me love Rothy's even more? They've kept over 60 million single-use plastic bottles out of landfills and transformed them into their signature thread, which is then knit into their stylish, sustainable products. So check out all the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's rothys.com, R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. And they always have free shipping and returns. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy. Now, back to the news. President Trump now says he's given his blessing to a deal that would keep TikTok running in the U.S. The deal still involves American software giant Oracle and big box retailer Walmart. And as we've reported before, it's still not an outright sale. Walmart and Oracle together will own a stake of a new entity called TikTok Global, which will be in charge of the app's operations. President Trump says TikTok Global will be headquartered in Texas, and as many as 25,000 Americans will be hired to work there. And with that, the ban that could have gone into effect yesterday did not happen after all. Still, NPR reports the two American companies only plan to own a combined 20% of the brand. TikTok's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, and other investors from all around the world are expected to keep the other 80%. Either way, it seems this has satisfied the president's concerns over national security. Treasury officials say the deal still needs to be finalized by Oracle and Walmart, and the Chinese government still has to sign off on the agreement. By the way, another Chinese-owned app called WeChat did face a ban on Sunday, but a judge blocked it. That case is now still up in the air. Sony is apologizing because pre-orders for its highly anticipated new PlayStation 5 turned into a fiasco last week. Retailers like Walmart apparently jumped the gun on opening up pre-orders for the gaming console. They started them a day early, on Wednesday of last week, rather than Thursday. So things got messy. The gaming consoles ran out within a few minutes, and Fox Business reports some websites crashed when customers rushed them. And there was apparently a lack of communication. So Sony says it will release more PS5 consoles for pre-order over the next few days, and retailers will be sharing the details. The official launch is still November 12th. By the way, the next highly anticipated console is coming out this week. The next Xbox will be available for pre-order tomorrow and will launch on November 10th. Golfer Bryson DeChambeau got his first major victory over the weekend by winning the 2020 U.S. Open. He was actually the only golfer to shoot under par, and he credits his recent weight gain for that. Golf Magazine says he put on 40 pounds, mostly by lifting weight, since he graduated college in 2015. And that additional power and strength helped him outdrive competitors time and again, sometimes by more than 50 yards. TV's Biggest Night was mostly virtual last night. As always, the Primetime Emmy Awards celebrated this year's achievements in television and streaming. And this year, the night's biggest winner was clearly the show Schitt's Creek. It swept all the big awards for Best Comedy, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Writing, and Best Directing. Meanwhile, HBO's Succession won for Best Drama, and the star of Succession, Jeremy Strong, won for Best Actor in Drama. Zendaya won for Best Actress in a Drama for her role in Euphoria. As for the rest of the show, host Jimmy Kimmel led the way from an empty Staples Center in Los Angeles, and all the winners accepted their Emmys remotely. And that's it for your main news today, but now it's time for Money Monday, where we talk about one interesting money-related news story. And today we're talking about how the pandemic has changed the way we grocery shop, from where we shop to what we buy. For example, certain foods have gotten super popular during this time. Take oranges, for example, which saw sales surge 73% this May compared to a year earlier. The New York Times reports that's partly because they stay fresh for a while and partly because they're known for vitamin C and immune-boosting capabilities. Frozen food has also seen a spike in sales. At the start of the pandemic, it went up 94%, and it's still doing better than average. Online grocery shopping is also booming. To keep up, companies like Kroger and Whole Foods are now operating so-called dark stores solely dedicated to fulfilling online orders. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. We'll be back with more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.